he wasn't so honest about the money that was owed to his master, to the one who gave him the money. But it says here that this master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He didn't commend him for his dishonesty. He commended him for his wise way in which he thought he could pay the money back. But the Bible clearly does say he was a dishonest manager. And then Jesus goes on and he says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." So please note that Jesus is not saying here that you must deal dishonestly with your master's stuff. You must be a good manager, but he's trying to say that this guy at least started to make plans to use money so that he could make friends. And he says to you, he says, "I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth so that when it fails," you can underline that again, unrighteous mammon will fail. Amen. "Then they may receive you into eternal dwellings." So he's saying a lot of stuff here. He's saying what is important is whether your heart is going to end up in eternity or not, whether your soul is going to be with Jesus or not. That is the main focus. And even when you've done wrong, there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy. Because the focus is, are you going to end up in eternity or not? And that's what this parable is about. But there is a challenge because money can distract us. So I'm not going to go into that part of the parable in detail. What I do want to go to in detail is verse 10 to verse 13. So Jesus has told this parable and then he ends off this parable with four powerful verses which I want to look at this morning. He says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If you then have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot serve God and money. So this morning, the question I want to ask is, what is Jesus teaching in this parable about money? So we're going to talk about what we don't like to always talk about. You know, what do they say? You mustn't talk about politics, you mustn't talk about religion, you mustn't talk about sex and money and all those things. But guess what? This morning, we're going to talk about money. And I want you to be honest in your heart with where you're at in your relationship with money. I really believe the Lord wants to set us free. Amen. Jesus does not want to put a burden on you or bondage on you. He wants actually to be free. Do you believe that this morning? So see Jesus' heart in this. See Jesus' heart when it comes to money. There's four truths that I believe he's talking about money in this passage. Number one, verse 10. "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Do you know that money is actually decreasing in value over time? Anyone know that? For example, 10 rand in 1960, let's say, I don't know exactly what the figures are, but let's say 10 rand in 1960, which is almost 60 years ago, is, let's say, it's equivalent to 200 rand now. Money is decreasing in value. Do you see how little we can buy with what was a lot then? 200 rand back then was a lot. What is 200 rand now? You can buy nothing with it. The value of money is decreasing over time. So why do we make it such a big thing? But yet, let's be honest in ourselves that money does determine our status many times. Think about it. The amount of money you have often is a measure of success in this world. Whether we deny it or not, it just is. Amen. Status is determined by the house you live in. Let's be really honest. Status in the world's eyes is determined by the house you live in. It's determined by the car you drive. It's determined by the clothes you wear. It's determined by the jobs you do. And you know, some jobs even come with a bonus. They have a title with them. like professor or doctor or even pastor. So some jobs come with a bonus. There's a title. And let's be honest, your status is often determined by that which you have and that which you do. Can I have agreement there? Let's be real this morning. Let's not say it's not like that. It is like that. And often as believers, we get caught up with this. In fact, we come into the church and we get saved and we get changed, but we still come with a mindset. But Jesus actually is saying something amazing. He's saying that money is actually a very little. Money is just a very little thing. It's really not a big thing. In the kingdom of God and in the light of eternity, money is really a small thing. But I want to say to us this morning, we mustn't think of it as nothing. Because he doesn't say it's nothing. He just said it's a very little. But it's a powerful thing because even though it's seen as very little, it has the power to either determine faithfulness or to determine dishonesty. It can even cause us to be dishonest. Think of your tax forms that you have to fill in every year. The working people amongst us, students, maybe you need to learn how to fill in your tax form properly. But that's a great opportunity for us to say, you know what, I'm going to claim back a little bit more from the tax man than I actually should. And we should never overpay the tax man, okay? The tax guy gets enough. So we shouldn't overpay the tax man, but we should not underpay him either. The Bible says we must give to Caesar what's due to Caesar. We must give to those who it's due. But money can determine a slight bit of dishonesty there. And we can easily take shortcuts and we can easily be dishonest, just like what Jan Pietri was sharing, is that it's not seen. No one sees it. And the guy might never catch you out. You might never be caught out, but there is someone who's seen. And in this world, nothing is unseen from God. God sees everything. But it says here that if you're faithful in that very little, you're probably going to be faithful in a lot. But if you're dishonest in that very little, you're going to be dishonest with a lot. So money is seen, number one, as very little. Secondly, if you then have been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Now, I brought this. We've just put solar heating in our swimming pool. So this is a thermometer, right? This tells me how cold or how hot the water of our swimming pool is. So when I look at this, it tells me that the swimming pool is warm enough for baptizing people today. Amen. So now it's nice to be baptized because our pool is not so cold anymore. But before I had this thing, the water was cold. And now this thing can tell me the water is very cold. And I can get cross with this thing that the water is cold. I can throw it on the ground and break it and say, you're lying, you're not telling the truth. But this thing is just the measure. Amen. The thermometer is just the measure of the temperature of our swimming pool. And in the same way, Jesus is saying that money is like this thermometer. Money measures what is in our hearts. It's a good measure of what's in our hearts. It's not the only measure. But it is one of the measures of the condition of our hearts. And see, money is never the problem in our lives. Money is just a good tool to measure what's in our hearts and whether we're good stewards or not. And it says, if you've been faithful in unrighteous wealth, or if you have not been, how can you be entrusted with true riches? What are true riches? It's stuff of eternity, stuff of the kingdom. And what is the only thing that Jesus is really concerned about in this world? Anyone know? He's only concerned about people's hearts. He's concerned about people. He's concerned about whether people go to heaven or not one day. That's what he's really concerned about. He's so concerned that he's interceding for the church. Amen. Jesus is he's concerned that you have enough food to eat. He's concerned that you have clothes to wear. In fact, the Bible says be content with food and clothing, because without that you're a little bit exposed. You're a little bit naked without clothes and without food and a roof over your head. But Jesus is not so concerned about how much money you have. He's just concerned, are people going to heaven or not, because he's coming back and he wants to come back sooner rather than later. Who wants Jesus to come back sooner? Benny sang about it. It's like, Jesus, we can't wait for all things to be made perfect. So Jesus is concerned about whether people are going to be with him one day or not. And so money is just a measure, and money is not the problem. We look at what the problem really is just now, but how we relate to money tells us whether God can entrust us or not. So money is a good measure of trust. And I believe he wants to entrust to us the kingdom. He wants to entrust to us people's lives. And can he trust us this morning? And then the writer goes on, and Jesus goes on. He says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give to you that which is your own? Psalm 24 verse 1 says that guess what belongs to the Lord? 10%, 20%, 50%. What belongs to the Lord? Everything. You know what everything means? Everything. All belongs to the Lord. And the question I want to ask us this morning is, does money really belong to us? Because it says here, if you've not been faithful in which belongs to someone else, then how are you going to be faithful with what's really yours? So how do you handle your money, and do you handle it as if it belongs to the Lord, as if everything belongs to the Lord? Because yes, guess what? We're so good with handling our 10% because that's the Lord's, the rest is mine. And that's the biggest lie. Everything belongs to the Lord. And one way to know whether you understand if your money really does all belong to the Lord is, how much do you consult the Lord about your finances? How much do you pray about your finances? How much do you ask the Lord to help you with decisions? Or do you just make decisions because it's this time of the year and we're going to spend, whether we've got money or not, because, hey, credit is awesome. Can go into debt. We can just spend because it's the thing. How much do you consult God about your financial decisions? And do you pray before spending your money? I'm not talking about like paying the bills, you know. You don't pray about that. Pay what is due to someone else. Be a good steward. But do you consult God when you have to wonder, is this a want or is this a need? Is this what I really need? Or is this just a nice to have? And do I have the means? And God wants to bless us. This morning I'm not saying at all that God wants us to live in poverty. But you know that there's three gospels being preached at the moment. Just on the side. This is now for free. You can make an extra donation afterwards if you want to. There's three gospels being preached. There's the prosperity gospel, which says that God hates rich people, or God doesn't want us to be rich. And it's a sin to be rich. To be poor. What did I say? The prosperity gospel. God hates poor people. God doesn't want us to be poor. He just wants us to be rich, and he wants to bless us with everything. And there's no suffering, and there's no bad stuff. It's all good. God is, in a way, it's true. It's just not the only gospel. Then there's on the other extreme, there's the poverty gospel. God hates us when we rich, or God hates rich people. He wants us to suffer and be in poverty all the time. And both of those are extremes. God wants us to preach the stewardship gospel. So there's a poverty gospel, prosperity gospel, but then there's a stewardship gospel which says, God says, you know, what you have is not yours. You're meant to be a good steward, a good manager of it. Because it doesn't belong to you. So number one, money is seen as a very little. Number two, money is a measure for trust. And number three, money, good news, does not belong to you. And then the last verse, he says in verse 30, he says, no servant can serve two masters. So we are supposed to be servants in the kingdom. And we are supposed to serve. Isn't that amazing? But we cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The fourth truth about money that Jesus is telling us here is that money can become a god. Amen. Money can become a god. Especially if you don't look at the first three. If you don't take note that money is actually only a very little, money is not really your own, money is a test of your faithfulness. If you don't understand that fully, then guess what will happen? Money will probably become your God. Amen. Jesus taught more about stewardship and money in the Gospels than any other topic. In fact, I don't know the exact stats, but there's over 1,000 verses in the four Gospels about stewardship and money more than any other topic. Why do you think this is? Why do you think Jesus taught so much about money and stewardship? And why do you think sometimes it's a struggle for us to talk about it? I think we're so worried about what people think, and maybe we're not sure exactly what Jesus means about this whole thing of money. But Jesus knows the heart of man. Jesus knows what's in our hearts. He says in his word in the Old Testament in Proverbs that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know the heart? Who can trust the heart? I think Jesus knows our hearts, and he's always after our hearts. He's never not focused on money, but he's focused on money because he knows that there's another God that can possibly be worshipped. There's another God that can have a hold on your heart, and it's called money. I heard a good saying once. It said, if money sticks to your hand, if you struggle to give, if you struggle to let go of money, then it's got a hold on your heart. Pastor Henny, who's coming next week, he actually said that. If money sticks to your hand, it's got a hold on your heart. So how can we be faithful this morning? So I've got a few answers for you, which the Bible is clear about. How can we be faithful by ensuring that money is our servant and not our master? Do you know that money is an amazing servant? It's a terrible master, but it can become our master. But have you ever had someone who's not a great boss, not a great leader? It's not nice having a bad master, a bad leader. And guess what? Money is a terrible leader. Money is a terrible master. But money was supposed to always be a servant. Money was never supposed to lead our lives. But is money leading your life? Is money directing your life? And maybe stress, maybe half of the sicknesses and half of the stresses that we're dealing with in life is because of financial stress, because money is the master, and money is a slave driver. But money is supposed to always be the slave. Money is supposed to be the servant. And we are supposed to serve the master. We're supposed to serve the one master, but sometimes we're serving the one who's supposed to be a servant. So how can you make money a good servant in your life? Proverbs 21 verse 5. And there's just two things that I want you to take home this morning from this sermon. How can you make money a good servant? Number one, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The plans of the diligent, the steward, the good manager, lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The number one thing that you can do to make money your servant is to budget and to plan. Amen. So how many of you this morning have a budget that works out your monthly expenses? And do you know where your expenses are going? This is very practical this morning. I know you guys are like, you just want the spiritual answers and let's just pray about it and all of that. That's good. But God doesn't want us just to pray about things. He wants us to do something about it. So pray about it. But this is something you don't even need to pray about, because the Bible has told you, be a good steward, be a diligent planner, and put a budget in place. In other words, you must know where your money has gone. Amen. You know, we're going to have to give account of the money that God has entrusted to us, because it's not our money, it's His money. So do you have a budget every month? And do you have a plan, if you are in debt, do you have a plan to get out of debt? Because that should be top of your budget. If you're in debt, the top thing on your budget should be, and we'll look at other stuff that should be priority in your budget. But I want to say to you, even before you are giving, and I want to say this somewhere, yeah, but I'll say it in the next point as well. But if you need to get out of debt, then give less than 10% if you have to. Now, that's like coming from a pastor. Whoa, it's like radical. Don't tithe yourself into debt. That's what I'm trying to say. If you're in debt, get out of debt as soon. I'm not talking about a home loan or a car loan or stuff. That most people have to have debt for a home loan and a car. Okay, even a car is like, it's not a good investment. Try not to buy a car on a loan. Try to save up for the car. But these days, who can buy a car and a house cash? Very few people. So I'm not talking about those things. But if you're in debt and you've suddenly got saved or come to the Lord and you know, like, yes, I've got this debt, then you need to get out of your debt ASAP. That's a priority because debt kills. Amen. Debt puts bondage on us. In fact, the Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. If you're owing the banks money, if you're owing a lot of money, get out of it as soon as possible. So budget and plan to get out of that debt. But don't stop giving. I'm not saying you mustn't give. But if you need to give 10% and you can't afford to get out of debt and give 10%, then just give what you can give, but get out of debt. Amen. Bad debt, because you get good debt and you get bad debt. So I'm not talking about good debt like a house, and that's you need to budget for, and you need to decide, can you afford this house or not? But get out of debt. Amen. And put a budget in place and put a plan in place that money can become your servant. I love to use the internet bank. You know, internet banking is such a blessing because you can there tell your money, I see how much there is, I see how much I need to pay, I pay it. It's like money, work for me, pay those debts. It's awesome. Pay those bills. I love to direct where my money's going. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a good idea of how much we have and how much we need to pay and pay it and be a planner and a budgeter. And if you go over your budget every month, then adjust your budget. Start to look at your expenses and say, ish, I can't afford all these luxuries. And when you plan and when you budget, look at what is a want and what is a need. Is this really a need now, or is it just a nice to have? And for a season, I might have to cut on the nice to haves to get out of debt. And then number two, the second thing to make money your servant is called, and I call the first thing earthly investing or earthly planning. It's practical stuff. It's stuff you have to do. But where this I call heavenly investing. The second thing you need to do is to do heavenly investing. We look at what that is now. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God has called us to lay up for ourselves treasures, not only on this earth. So don't start to, you know, even if you've got lots of money, don't just gather all the nice stuff on this earth. Be a blessing. Gather the nice stuff and be a blessing and share it. So how do we do heavenly investing? There's just three things when it comes to heavenly investing. Number one, give into the storehouse of God. Amen. Give into the storehouse of God. You see, do you have a heart for God's house? Do you have a heart for God's kingdom? Because that should reflect in your budget. That's why I say money is such a good indicator, and our budgets are a good indicator of where our hearts are at. If you're spending your money on earthly stuff, that's where your heart is. Your heart is on this earth. If you're spending your money on heavenly stuff, and one of the heavenly investments is to give to the house of God, because that is God's plan A. And I'm sure all of you agree with it. I'm sure you are here this morning because you believe in the church. You believe in the local church. You believe that God has given the church the mandate to reach the lost. So give to the house of God. Give to other ministries that are reaching the lost. Give wherever God's kingdom is coming. Amen. And I want to say this morning to you, do not limit God by giving a tithe. Before I got spirit-filled and really became on fire for the Lord, I used to just give whatever I had into the church, and I was earning a salary at the time. And I used to give, you know, what was in my wallet, and it's sort of like I'm carrying ever a tithe in my wallet. But I'll give what I had until God started to challenge me, and he said, this money thing is, and I'm like, I've got Scottish blood in me, and Scots are generally a bit more shrewd and maybe a bit more selfish with their money. So I'm very careful with my money, and so I want to save everything. I'm not a big spender, but I'm like a saver. The Lord just set me free from this thing of money. He said, you must start to give at least 10%. Don't just give what you feel like. Commit to start to give. And the Lord started to challenge me. He said, why am I limited to the 10%? Why are you just giving me 10%? And so I said, God, I really want to give you more than 10%. I want to give to a place where I can live on 20% or 10%. And the rest, it's all yours, God, but I'd like to give more. And I started to give. I started to give more than 10%. And I just saw how God blessed me. I couldn't keep up with God's blessings. Even in the tough times, I would say, God, I'm not going to compromise on giving. I'm not going to compromise on. And unfortunately, I come from a family, both Hester and I come from families that have been good stewards. So we've been blessed. I understand not everyone has come from families that are good stewards. But we haven't really had much debt in our lives. We haven't had to pay off student loans and things like that. And so I believe it's a legacy God has called us to walk in, to be good stewards and to keep giving more and more and more. And we've been blessed in that way. And we've been blessed to actually be wise to not, you know, live extravagantly. And God has blessed us. And it's so freeing to be free of the love of money. But also to test my heart. Where's my heart? Is it in the house of God? I started to give into the house of God, and then I started to get excited to serve in church. Believe me, after I started to give into the house of God, I started to get excited about church and be a blessing. And then God called me into the ministry. But giving into the storehouse and giving for ministry, because that's where your heart is. If your heart isn't in there, or if your treasure isn't there, your heart will not be. And some people want to put their hearts in, and that their hearts are only in for a while. But you know where your heart is going to stay is where your treasure stays. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say where your heart is, there you must put your treasure. It says where you put your treasure, your heart will be. Give into the storehouse of God. And I remember, I just want to tell you a story about, I was in Port Elizabeth doing, holiday work, but I was sent from the company I was working in Stellenbosch to Port Elizabeth to go and work, at Volkswagen there. And I got involved in a cell group in a church there. And there was this guy, I think he was into property or something. He had a motorbike and quite a lot of toys, and yeah, he didn't have a shortage of money. And him and his wife were married, and they'd just been married. And they were talking one night in the small group about money, and this guy had a problem. Why is the church always preaching money? Especially the charismatic Pentecostal churches always talking about money, and you know, you must give to the church and all of that. He had a bit of a problem with that. He felt, where is it in the New Testament? Why do we have to give to God? And so we were like, I was at a check in my spirit. This is not right. Something's not right in this guy's life. And he was one of the leaders or one of the influential people in church and so on. And I could see the cell group leader handled it very well, but he also didn't agree with this guy. And so I was like, sure, this is interesting. And I left it and finished my work there, went back to Stellenbosch, and we sort of had contact, me and the cell group leader and those group of friends for a while. And after a while, I heard that this guy was having problems with his marriage because his wife wanted kids. He didn't want kids. And eventually they got divorced. At the end of that year, they were pretty much divorced and going in their separate ways. But it was scary for me to see that this guy, the problem wasn't with his wife or with the fact that he wanted kids or didn't want kids. It was just an outflow of something that was in his heart, a selfishness that was in his heart that ultimately resulted in him not wanting to have kids, and so obviously resulted in a divorce. But I believe seriously that if that guy had a heart change where he realized he's called to give, it's not about the 10% or arguing about that. It's about being a giver, about giving extravagantly, but being the heart of Jesus and giving to the church, giving to God's work. I believe God would have changed his heart and he would have wanted kids, because not wanting kids often is a selfish thing. And the selfishness starts in our hearts. So do you have a heart for the storehouse? Do you have a heart to give into the storehouse? Secondly, God is serious about the poor. Another way to heavenly invest is to give to the poor. Amen. And to start to invest time and money into giving to the poor. And as a church, I realize we need to look at this and say, are we giving to the poor? And so we have our alms bins. Okay, they're not here this morning, but we normally have an alms bin that we need to put out. And we say there's food and clothes you can bring for the poor, you can donate, where we give to poor people. That is heavenly investing. Amen. God says in Proverbs, if we don't lend to the, or giving to the poor is like lending to the Lord. And we're actually stealing from God if we don't give to the poor. God's heart is for the poor. And I'm not saying give to everyone on the street who's begging, please. That's also bad stewardship, to just give to people when they're not taking ownership of stuff. We need to be wise about giving to people on the streets. I really say, God, help me. Help me to invest wisely in people that are begging, because I'm not just going to give to everyone who begs. Some people have that conviction. That's fine. Pray about it. Ask God, for everyone who comes to my door, must I give? Give food then at least. But we can't give someone money that cannot manage money. We need to first teach people to manage money. Amen. But that's why it's good to give to an organization that's helping to feed the poor, helping the poor to steward their money. And then lastly, give in faith as the Holy Spirit leads. Because why? It's all about relationship with God. So God is not limited to a 10% or 20% or just a certain way of giving. God says, you know what? I will meet a need through you if you're ready. So is your budget open? Is your budget ready to be able to say, Holy Spirit, wherever I need to give now, if there's a sudden need, then I want to give. I want to pray about it. I want to say, God, there's a need. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. So I want the ushers to hand out the communion this morning. We're gonna take communion right now around this specific topic of money. God has called us to make money our servants. There's a scary story in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, which I'm not going to go into right now. But it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Most people know it. The story of Ananias and Sapphira, where they held a little bit back from what God wanted them to give. Anyone read Acts chapter 5? Just show me your hand or nod to me and say, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go to your Bibles right now and just mark it there. But Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead because they didn't obey biblical stewardship. They didn't obey what the Holy Spirit was doing throughout the book of Acts, because the Holy Spirit made people stewards. You know what happened in the book of Acts? No one was poor. Hectic. Everyone had what was enough for them. Everyone had enough. They shared all their stuff. And I'm not saying as a church or even as the body of Christ in the modern day, we're going to live like that. That was just different times. I don't know how they lived. It's just amazing. The Holy Spirit did it. But in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira got killed. They got struck down because they were dishonest. It wasn't about how much they give or didn't give. It just because they were dishonest. But why were they dishonest? Because of this thing of money in their hearts, the love of money. They thought they could control their own money. And guess what? Their money was never theirs. The land that they had was never theirs. The Bible is clear that in the end times, one thing is going to happen. People are going to be lovers of money. A couple of times in the Bible it's written, the end time signs, one of the signs of the end times will be people will be lovers of money. Apart from all the selfishness and the hatred and all the stuff, but specifically it says lovers of money. And our focus, I believe, must be true riches, stuff of eternal value. So I want us to close our eyes this morning. I trust everyone has received. If no one has received, or if someone hasn't received, just put up your hand. Tell Tepu, has everyone received? So I want us to close our eyes now, and I just want to pray for us as believers this morning. Because God wants us to be faithful in the very little. Amen. God wants us to be faithful with the very little we have received. And He wants to entrust to us true riches. He wants to entrust to us many souls. So Lord, this morning, God, as we bring our hearts before you, God, these symbols that we hold before you, Lord, are what you did for us, that our hearts can be circumcised, our hearts can be changed. So Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that as we take communion, even before we take communion this morning, Lord, we want you to circumcise our hearts. We want you to check our hearts right now, Lord. So Lord, yeah, we are, Lord. We want to be honest with you this morning, Lord. Some of us are struggling with a prosperity gospel that has been preached to us. So we think that we are entitled to all of this. It's all ours. Some of us are struggling with a poverty gospel, Lord. We just think that it's okay to struggle and to never have enough and to never come to a place where we can bless and we can give, Lord. So we're struggling with strongholds and bondages. And ultimately, Lord, it all comes from this love of money or the God of mammon that is ruling our lives. But Lord, we realize this morning you've called us to be stewards. You've called us to be faithful in the very little, Lord. So Lord, we're moving into a time, Lord, where again, Lord, there's just going to be the temptation to spend and to just go with the ways of the world. But Lord, I pray that we'd be wise in this time. And I pray that we'd take stock before we go into this month of November and December, Lord, that we would take stock, Lord. And we would see, Lord, where can we buy something that we can bless someone else with, Lord? Where can we look for deals and specials that we can maybe bless someone else with, Lord? Or where, Lord, is it time for us to just get out of debt, Lord? And not even go to the shops for a while, Lord. Just to ask you, first of all, to get us out of debt, Lord, to help us to get out of debt before we just go into more debt, Lord. So I want you to, before we take communion this morning, because I just want you to deal with the Lord right now. I know lots of people need prayer this morning. But I want you, first of all, just to check your heart with the Lord and say, Lord, show me where I am in terms of my relationship with money. Is it my master or is it my servant? Is money ruling my life? Is money determining if I can go on holiday, when I can go on holiday? Do I have to work so hard? And I can never just have excess. I can never have leeway. My life is so tight because of money specifically. Or I'm just spending and it's all about me. I've never given anything to anyone. I've never really had a heart to bless the poor, to bless someone else. Then just be honest with the Lord. Just say, God, I'm so in debt at the moment. I really want to get out of debt. I want to be a blessing to so many people. I want to have abundance. I want to have excess that I can be a blessing. But this money has a hold on me. And just be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, this is really a challenge in my life. Some of you, maybe you've grown up with just bad parents who've been bad stewards and never taught you good stewardship. And Jesus wants to come and teach you. He's the perfect Father. He wants to be the Father who teaches you that all things belong to the Father. And He's just given you, and He wants to entrust to you more, but He's given you already enough. He's given you a little. He's given you very little. He's given you money. It's a very little. It doesn't matter how much you have. But He's just testing. Is this money a big thing in your life? Is it a little thing? And have you mastered it? Have you asked Jesus, Lord, I want you to be the master. The only way you can make money your servant is by making Jesus your master, your only master. And then you say, Jesus, help me to keep this money serving me and ultimately serving you. Not serving me, but serving you. Just bring your challenges to the Lord as we just take off this bread. So we're gonna eat this bread together, and we're gonna remember what Jesus did for us. He broke His body, that our hearts can also be made whole of the love of money, the love of everything else of this world, the love of material stuff, the love of this world. And Lord, so I thank you as we eat your body now. Help us, Lord, to die to the love of this world and the love of money especially, Lord. And if money has any hold on us now, we tell it that this hold is broken in the name of Jesus. It does not have a hold on us. Deliver us of a poverty mentality or prosperity mentality or any other mentality that focuses on money as the thing that we pursue. So Jesus, help us now. Let's eat together of this body of Christ and just let Him become your all in all. And mend your heart. Make your heart whole. Devoted to Him. Devoted only to Him. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the new covenant, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Lord, we repent of our sin right now. Just bring your heart before the Lord. And if you need to repent, say, sorry, Lord, sorry for worshiping other gods, especially the God of this world, the mammon that presents so much. And it's true. Money presents a lot. Money has a lot of opportunities. Money does open doors. But is it the kingdom that's being served? Is the kingdom advancing when it comes to your finances? Is it just a selfishness, or is it the works of the devil sometimes being advanced without you even knowing it? Such a subtle line, such a fine line many times. But Lord, help us to have wisdom. We drink of this blood and ask you to give us wisdom, Lord. Because some people, yeah, you've really been called to make lots of money. You've really been called to be a massive blessing to the kingdom. But the temptations will come. The temptations will come. And just keep your heart guarded. Keep your heart devoted to Jesus. So as you drink of this wine, just remember the covenant. Remember the sacrifice he made, that you can be free, that you can be a blessing. Let's drink together. So Lord, we just give you our hearts afresh, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for these next 2 months, Lord, and for next year, Lord, that we'll look differently at our finances. God, I pray for people who need to budget, God. I pray for people who need to plan where they're spending and where they're not, Lord. I pray for people to know where their money is going for your glory, God. And I pray that we won't turn over every single little cent, that we won't be so bound, Lord, even by trying to be a good steward, Lord. Help us just to be free as a good steward of you, Lord. Help us just to be free and also not to stress unnecessarily about trying to be perfect, because we'll never be perfect on this side of eternity. But Lord, you want us to give an account. You want us to be managers. And we ask you, Lord, this morning as a church also, that you'd entrust to us the true riches, God. We want to see souls discipled, saved, healed, Lord. We want to see people's lives changed, Lord. But Lord, entrust to us the little, Lord, that we can prove ourselves faithful, God. Thank you that you bless our church financially as well, Lord, that you bless us to be a blessing, Lord. And that each one of us sitting here will be a blessing individually, but together we'll bring the excess, Lord. We'll bring to the storehouse, we'll bring to missions, Lord, where we want to go to the nations, Lord. We also pray that you'd bless us with enough resources that we can change the lives that you want us to change. But we choose to walk by faith in this time and to be led by your Spirit and to be obedient. Lord, I pray as we leave this place today, Lord, as we go into this awesome day you've blessed us with, I pray that this word would sink in and that we'd remember, Lord, to be faithful in the very little. That we remember, Lord, that money is simply just a tool. It's really just a little tool, but it's an important tool because it's a measure of our faithfulness. It's a measure of how you can trust us, Lord. But thank you that it belongs to you, and we dedicate our money to you again, and we also say, Lord, we're going to serve you as our master, Lord. Money will be our servant. So thank you that you bless us as we leave this morning, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit that leads us, that teaches us, that reminds us of your word, Lord. And that when we fall, God, we'll fall back into your arms and we'll repent again and we'll say, sorry, Lord, and you'll help us to be better stewards. We don't have to be perfect as we walk out of here, but thank you that you'll tell us the next step that we need to do, because you're faithful to do that as well.